So the other day, I was sorting out a cupboard at home, and I came across a jigsaw puzzle. Now, when my children were very little, we used to do a lot of jigsaw puzzles together, but as they've got older, the puzzles have been put to the back of the cupboard, and they've been forgotten about. But although they've been forgotten about in our house, apparently jigsaw puzzles are on the rise in terms of popularity. Puzzles, like board games, are seen to be something of an antidote to modern life. They're partly an antidote because much of modern life is digital and screen-based, so there's an increasing interest in actual physical, tangible things again. Things like books made of paper, what a novelty, jigsaw puzzles, board games, vinyl records. People are interested in them because they're real, tactile things that you can have and hold on to. But as well as that, old school hobbies like doing jigsaws are seen to be quite good for our well-being and mental health. They're a sort of form of mindfulness because they're a very calming distraction, so they help perhaps to let go of anxiety and stress, and they're also a creative outlet. I think what I have always loved about jigsaws is looking at the picture on the front of the box and then slowly seeing the same picture emerge as you fit the little pieces together. So you put the pieces together and you glance up and compare it with the picture on the box, you look down again, and very, very slowly it begins to emerge. Well, over the last few weeks in church, we've been doing a sermon series thinking about what's called the kingdom of God. And I would describe the kingdom of God as what life is like when God governs the world. Actually, it's more than that, because I believe that God already governs the world. So the kingdom of God is what life is like when God governs the world and when people recognize that God is in charge and when people choose to live God's way. And in this morning's reading from Revelation, the one we heard a moment ago, we are given a picture. We're given a vision of what life is like when God is in charge. And much like the picture on the front of the jigsaw box, this is a picture that will ultimately emerge when the pieces of life and faith are fitted together. And so the description that we're given in Revelation is a description of a renewed world in which there is no evil, there is no suffering, and there is no death. It's the big picture, the future, the culmination of God's work in the world. I so have days like that as well. The difference is, as an adult, you're just not allowed to make that noise apart from maybe privately when you've closed all the doors. Children are a gift. They tell the truth. But that's that picture we're given in Revelation of this world made perfect. No suffering, no evil, no death. That is what God in Christ came to do, to fulfill that vision. Now, it is an inspiring picture, but I also find that I have a problem with it. People often say that that passage from Revelation is a picture of heaven. And I think it's a little bit like God giving us a holiday brochure with a picture of a tropical island on the front. And it's as if God says to us, you know, when the time comes, you have a free, first-class, all-inclusive ticket to this amazing tropical island, and you can finally escape all of this. You can escape all of that, all of the stuff in this world. That is the life that we can look forward to when we die. The thing is that right now I'm living in this world. I'm not on the tropical island of heaven. I'm here, here and now. So are we really saying that God's great plan is that we have to put up with the hardships of life because it's all right, one day we'll be everything and we'll be okay and he will just whisk us away from this challenging world? And my other problem is that actually, yes, sometimes life is hard, but sometimes life is beautiful. And I love this world. And when I die, the people I love will still be in this world. So a part of me doesn't want to be whisked away from this world because I think this life is brilliant. But also, it's all well and good to say, hey, there'll be no evil in heaven. I want there to be no evil on earth. That's the dream I want to see fulfilled. I want this world made perfect, not the tropical island fantasy. As it happens, I don't think this Bible passage is suggesting that there's this tropical island fantasy where we'll all escape to it. Quite the opposite. In the Lord's Prayer that we pray at every service, we say these words. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And the movement in these words is a movement from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. And actually, the same movement is in that reading from Revelation as well, because it says this in verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Coming down. And in verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. When people talk about heaven, they often use the word paradise. So when I was writing this sermon, I thought, I know what, I'll Google the word paradise and click on the images. Guess what every picture showed? Tropical island. Amazingly, I'd written the tropical island bit before I'd done the Google search. But in our culture, that is how we think of paradise. Every single image, blue sky, clear water, golden sands, palm trees. What is fascinating is that in this passage, heaven is not represented by a tropical island, nor is heaven represented by a garden like the Garden of Eden. It's not represented by some fabulous, perfect scene from nature. Heaven here is represented by a city. Now, many cities are very beautiful, but cities can also be noisy and overcrowded and filthy and smelly and unsafe. And if I mention cities like Sao Paulo, Cape Town, Baghdad, or Port-au-Prince, you are likely to think not of beauty, but of crime, of deprivation, of social problems, of political instability, of violence, and pollution. And you don't often hear about people saying, I think in the next few years I'd like to retire to the city. I'd like to get away from it all and move into the centre of London. How often do you hear that? Never. Because nobody does that. So this is a really significant point, that heaven is represented as a city. Because heaven is not about us escaping from everything that is wrong with this world. Heaven is about God coming here and transforming this broken world and making it holy, making it good and perfect. So the picture on the front of the jigsaw puzzle called Christianity shows God taking control of our cities, God taking control of this city, and putting an end to all that is wrong in it, putting an end to knife crime and poverty and racism and air pollution and loneliness and drug addiction and homelessness and more. Because God understands that, yeah, occasionally we want to escape this life, but actually most of the time we long for this world to be different because we love it here. We long for it to be different. And so God enters our world in the person of Jesus to begin that work of changing it. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, that is what we are praying for. And this passage from Revelation promises that is what will happen. That this city that we love, the reason we all sign up to political parties or resign from political parties, is because we want this place to be different. Because we care passionately about it. And God knows that. So it's a great vision of the future, of this world made good and right, of everything being the way we feel it should be. But what about now? Well, the passage from Revelation says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them. What it seems to be saying is that the way in which we experience heaven is through the presence of God. So being in heaven is actually another way of saying, I am being with God. So heaven isn't a perpetual future in which we live forever. Heaven is about the perpetual, uninterrupted presence of God, where we have this close, intimate relationship with him. And that means that the way in which the world is transformed is by God entering it and filling it with his presence. But that isn't just a future promise. That's something that has already happened in the coming of Jesus. Because Jesus entered our world at his birth, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended to heaven to be with his Father, and in his place he sent his Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of Jesus could inhabit every part of our world and every part of our lives. So the power to transform is already here, because the Spirit of Jesus is already here. Being a Christian isn't about looking at the picture on the front of the puzzle box and then waiting to die so that we can escape to heaven and finally enjoy it after 80 years or 90 years or 100 years of waiting. Being a Christian means ripping the lid off the box, tipping all the pieces out like kids do when they just spread them everywhere, all over the carpet, dropping to your hands and knees and beginning painstakingly to match them up and piece them together until the puzzle on the floor in front of you begins to resemble the picture on the front of the box. That's what it means to live as a Christian, to understand what God wants to do in our world and then to be a part of making that happen by slowly fitting those pieces of life and faith together. So the vision of the future isn't something we passively wait for. The vision of the future inspires and shapes the way that we live in the present. So we try to live in such a way that we bring that picture to life so that other people can see God's future. Other people can see what it is like to be in the presence of God. For me, that feels a little bit like being on the floor with all of those 1,000 puzzle pieces and then just spotting one and finding that your face is on the piece, that you are part of the picture. But not just that, finding the other little piece of the puzzle that's got Nell's face on it and says, and Nell's part of this picture. And Mark, Nell's dad, is part of it. And Rebecca, Nell's mum, is part of it. And Dan, Nell's uncle, is part of it. And Laurie, and Helen, and Henry, and other Laurie, and Jeremy. All of our faces are there on those pieces scattered all over the floor because we are part of God's big picture. We're part of this work of transformation that he is doing. And sometimes, yes, I feel discouraged by the state of our world. When the European election results came in, I felt discouraged for so many reasons, and we sat and despaired at home. But ultimately, I think there is a big picture on the front of that puzzle box. And I truly believe that God will transform this world that we love. And I truly believe that we are each part of that, that we have a calling and a purpose that he longs us to fulfill by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.